Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Thank you for joining us here at the Empowering Ourselves radio show. I am your host, Kelaine Greenwood, your urban life coach. This is the show where we promise to always bring you empowerment from some of today's most gifted and inspiring minds, discussing topics and ways to live inspired and encouraged, purposeful lives. So please sit back and relax and enjoy the show.
Hello, 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 everyone. Thank you for joining us here again, okay? All the listeners out here, everyone that's been supporting the show, getting pretty good downloads and listens and everything for a 6-month running show. So thanks everyone. We're over 2,000 downloads. So thank you for that. In case you didn't know, you're at the Empowering Ourselves Together Talk Radio. I'm your host, Kelaine Greenwood, the Urban Life Coach. And this is where everyone knows what the show's about, which is learning and practicing how to create our own higher quality of life, okay? How to create a higher quality of life. You know, the key to happiness is, you know, you can only create with the cards you've been dealt, okay? Cards you've been dealt, max them out with your support system and your resources. So, you know, that's what we do here. We figure out how to max what we have and be our optimum. Our optimum self, okay? So creating our own best version of ourselves, which I like to call our best self. Are you living up to that? Or are you kind of in the middle? Ask yourself that question. And learning to create our own best life in all the areas, romance, finance, health, fun, spirituality, all that, all those major areas that they say makes happiness. How close are you maxing that out? Are you using all your resources to get a total satisfaction, creating your own best life? Are you just settling for less? So let's create our own best life. But this show is also about learning to overcome the things that's stopping us, the struggles outside and inside of us, our inner barriers, obstacles, and the fears that are inside of us. Sometimes those are the things that's stopping us. It's not so much as things out there or a person. A lot of times it's the things inside of us that stop us from having our own best life, okay? So that's what this show is about, learning to do that. You know, to overcome these struggles, okay? And at the same time, we want to still enjoy life. We want to still have fun, being inspired and encouraged and hopeful for a good future as we do these things. I mean, who says that just because we go through something, we can't still have fun? Who said just because we go through something, we can't enjoy ourselves while we're going through? You know, going through something and learning how to overcome it, just making it exciting and just enjoying our life and our journey as we go through, because, as we know, challenges is what mold us and make us stronger inside, and that makes us that much more wiser, and it takes us to another level. We're a different person. We're a stronger person. We're more resilient or resilient, depending on how you say it, resilient. So let's face up. Let's not let life live our fears. Let's live life, not our fears, okay? And this is what this show's about, okay? And don't forget, let's be kind and love one another. Life is short. We're all interconnected. Let's find a higher purpose for our life. Give meaning for our lives. not just for your family, but just let it encompass, you know, what, just this little fence of what we consider us and mine. Let's find a purpose that kind of goes over to the next person's yard, okay? And this, and I guarantee you, it'll spice our life up, because when we give, when we help other people, that's when we really start to shine, and it feels good. That's probably why we're created to help. That's why it probably feels good when we help other people, because it feels good, and we want more of it. Okay, so that's what the show's about, and we can't do it without our guests, our expert guests. They do a wonderful job and bringing us tips and advice and all these things, because this is what they do. These are their stories. They lived it. They're bringing something here, a little wisdom to kind of like help us on this journey. That's why we're empowering ourselves together, talk radio, okay? Now, the episode of this title here is called Healing Myself from Lupus, okay? And our guest here is Diane Teagarden, okay? Remember that name, Diane Teagarden, okay? Let me give you some background bio on Diane. Very easygoing. I was talking to her in the queue. Very easygoing. All right, beautiful spirit. And I just was talking to her, just met her. We translate our energy through words and books and stuff like that. So I know when you read some of her stuff, you're going to get that same vibe off that. It's genuine. The background bio on Diane Teagarden, she resides in Pasadena, or she did, but I believe she still resides in Pasadena. She went to Cal State University. She says, yeah, she still resides in Pasadena, okay. Freelance writer, went to Cal State University. Very creative. She's a poet, does poetry, okay? She is still a print journalist since 1992. Author and publisher of 5 books. We're going to tell you where to get them books at also, by the way, and where you can contact her. Blogger. She's published in article magazines such as Pasadena Star News, Pasadena Weekly, West Coast Wellbeing, Health Breakthrough, Security Sales Magazine. So, as you know, she likes to write. Okay, can you guess where she's from? Haha, Pasadena, right? Okay, little joke there. So let's talk. Let's hear from our guest here, Diane Teagarden. Hello.
How are you doing tonight? So good to be able to talk with you.
Yes, I'm glad to talk to you. I'm glad to learn something today and to get something out of it. I love your warm voice. It's so comforting when you have a warm voice. That energy just soothes you, and it kind of calms you, assures you. So thank you for that. Has anyone ever told you about your voice, how calm it is, how
I've had
soothing?
A lot of different reactions to my voice. It drives some people crazy.
Okay.
My dad was always trying to shut me up with, back of his hand, because I'm very outspoken. Even as a tiny child, I said exactly what came into my mind. I have no filters whatsoever, and he didn't like that. And many people that are super controlling don't like it, but people that love free spirits, we get along really well, like you and I.
That's probably why. Good spirits recognize great spirits, and Ken, for the listeners, can you tell them a little bit more of who you are and what you do, and you know, how you help people. If you would, please. Diane.
Sure. What I do is I write from experience, and I've never been afraid of life, and just go out there and experience it. And sometimes bad things happen, what people would, you know, classify as bad things happen, and sometimes great things happen. So I was always willing to take the chance. You know, I was willing to you know, say, well, yeah, everybody was always so scared, scared to live, scared to take a chance on things. And I used to hitchhike. I'm a really tiny person. I mean, I'm fully grown and I'm 5'2". So, you know, I've always been a tiny person, and I was just never afraid to go out there, hang my thumb out, and even as a teenager by myself, just, you know, hitchhike around, because I love freedom. I love just being out there and meeting people and taking things minute per minute and just being absorbed in the moment. So, I also loved, when I was in high school, I loved theater because, man, being on stage was like the best thing in the world, you know. This is before I discovered boys or recreational drugs, you know what I mean?
Yes, we all been through those years. I guess we all can tell the story.
You know, but, you know, theater really allowed me, because I felt like there was a whole crowd of people inside of me. You know, I might be small, but my being is really big. And I felt like, you know, I could be anybody. I could portray anybody because I have a simpatico with people. I feel like I can feel what they're feeling. So, I've been so many things in my life. I've been a natural healer. I've been, you know, a Wiccan. I've been a teacher. I've taught, tutored children who were having trouble in school, and I made it so exciting for them. The parents would come in and, like, you know, nowadays the kids have the kind of schedules we never did when we were young. I mean, they get dropped off early because the parents have to drop the kids off before they even go to work. So they're in school before school starts, and then they're in school, and then they're in after-school programs, and then, you know, and the parents come and get them, and then they, like, have, you know, McDonald's driving through, you know, a drive-through restaurant, and get home and either, you know, hit the books or, you know, have to, you know, go to bed so early that it's almost like people can't even stop and take a breath. And so these kids that, like, say they switch school systems, they would have a really hard experience because where they came from, maybe they were, you know, in a certain place in a certain grade, and then when they jumped to another school system, they would put them a grade ahead or whatever, and they were just lost. They were lost, and these teachers have, you know, 50, 60, 100 kids in the classroom. They're just lost in this huge crowd. There's no individual attention. And I would make it so exciting that when the parents would come at 7 o'clock at night to bring their kid, you know, to pick up their kids to go home, the kids would be saying, no, wait a minute, we haven't finished with this. And they'd look at me like, what are you doing to these kids that they want to stay here after they've been in school all day long and all night long? And it's funny because I don't believe in punishing people because, you know, my dad used to beat me all the time when I was little. And so I don't believe in that. There's nothing positive that comes out of that. So I would instead say, okay, we're going to have this really fun thing that we do at the end of the day. But if you don't finish what you have to do, you're going to be having to do, you know, your homework from school, and you're going to be having to catch up with those lessons. So let's all really hit it really hard. We'll go out and play some basketball before we have our come in for the last segment, you know, before the sun goes down. So I would make it so fun that the parents would come in just dragging, totally tired, and expect their kids to be dragging. And they were like, wait a minute, wait, just one more minute. I just, you know, because they would love to play stump the teacher. So I would have, you know, a whiteboard, and I would say, okay, it's going to be one point for the students if you guys can stump me, and one for the teacher if I get it right. And I'd have them look at a dictionary and just start flipping pages and just put their finger down on any word. They couldn't look at it, so they couldn't make it planned. And if I didn't know how to spell the word, then they got a point. And I'd get up to like 10, and they would be like, oh, you know. They couldn't wait to stump me, you know. So like I say, I would make it really super fun, and that was their treat at the end of the day if we got everything done that we were supposed to do. So that's kind of my approach to life. I want it to be fun for people, you know.
Okay. Wow. I know I could take a lot of lessons from you on that.
You want to be one of my
kids.
Students now? No.
Yeah, I was really listening to you, what you said, and a lot of it struck a chord with me because I'm a single parent.
Wow.
I'm a single dad of a 4-year-old boy and a 7-year-old girl.
That's tough.
And I've basically raised them all by myself because my wife had been in and out the picture for the first in and out the picture until my daughter was like 3. And then we had got back together for like a year. Then we had my son, and now I haven't seen her for 3 years now. I haven't seen or heard from her for 3 years now, and I have a 4-year-old boy and a 7-year-old girl. I don't get no help. Oh, they're doing wonderful. I mean, everyone commends me, you know, because I always got them looking good. The world's not about material, but, you know, I'm not rich by any standard, but every little thing, I put them first. I remember I didn't buy me no clothes for 2 years because I was always buying them stuff, and birthdays and Christmases kept coming up. And I just recently, as of like 2 months ago, finally bought me, you know, a couple pair of pants and a shirt because I'm a bigger guy. So my pair of pants cost like $60, you know, at the big man store. So I was able to do that, and it was a struggle. But, you know, one thing I want the listeners to get from your experience and struggles and learning, okay, listeners, as we told you, as the episode title is Healing Myself from Lupus. Okay, now, Diane, could you kind of let the listeners know, like, with this, did you call it an illness? Is that right to say? Or an illness?
Think so,
or
yeah.
Okay, can you, the struggles you overcame and how it changed you to be more resilient and some of the things like that you went through? Because I know the listeners can find common ground with that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some of the things that you tell them are resonate, you know, because we all go through things and we all have a story. So let them know your story.
I was in business with my husband. We were doing a construction company for renewable energy. And so when you're a small business, you can't have, you know, 3,000 people working for you and one person just does this little thing and one person does that little thing. I mean, he was the one that knew how to install the stuff. He was running the crews. He also did all the sales. And so I had all the other end, everything that was in the office. We had a little office, you know, with a place for the equipment. And so one day a big, you know, semi rolls up and has a shipment for us. Well, you know, we didn't have at that time a lift, you know, forklift, and we didn't have a bunch of guys standing around, you know, waiting to lift this equipment up. It was only me and the truck driver, and he said, "Honey, by law, I can't put it any farther off than just the lift gate." So he put it on the edge of the lift gate and then lowered it to the ground, and then I had to get it into our, you know, receiving area. And all we had was this little blue push cart, okay? And so, I mean, I was it. I've always been a tiny person, like I say, and not very, you know, strong or physically, you know, strong or whatever you want to say, capable. But so the trucker lowered it down to where the lift was, and then he kind of shoved it, you know, this big package. And it was a long package. So when it came off onto this thing, so here I am, I probably weighed like 125 pounds, okay? This package weighed 300 pounds. So it slid And I was stupid enough to keep a hold of the cart because I just, you know, I didn't realize what was going to happen. And what it did was it jerked my right side so out of place, and I felt this radiating pain go up my right arm and down my right side. And, you know, the truck driver pulled away and off he went, and I pushed it like people that are in a stress situation not realizing they were injured. I was able to push the cart up into the loading bay, and then I sat there and I called my husband and I told him something's wrong. You know, I just got a shipment. There was nobody here to help me. The trucker did them as much as he could, but I think I hurt myself. So he came back to, the office and took me to the hospital, and sure enough, I had fractured my right rib, you know. And it's what's called a spiral fracture because the ribs on the two lower ribs on your body on both sides are not attached to the sternum. That's the middle bone in your body. They're attached at your backbone, but and most of your ribs go around and attach to the sternum, which is that flat bone right in the middle of your chest, but the two bottom ones are not attached. So the strain that put on it, because I held it and this 300-pound weight jerked my right side practically out of my shoulder, the fracture, the pain from the fracture, or the pressure from the fracture radiated through my body and down my right side and did a spiral fracture around, which means it wraps around the bone. So they can't set it because of where it is, and they can't do anything about it because of where it is. It's not like an arm bone that you can put in a cast. So I was really hurt for a long time. And even after they said that I was healed up, I was so tired. I was so exhausted all the time. I didn't have, I'm just like this little mountain of energy. People were like, they've actually told me this. This is one of my favorite compliments that wasn't meant to be a compliment. They say, you are too intense for indoor use. I'm like, oh, I love that. I love that. You know? I'm just this little firecracker, right? But I was definitely not that then. This was back in like 2001. And so I went to, of course, Western medicine, which is, if you've got any problems, don't even bother. They don't know anything. They especially don't know anything about healing people. But they said, you know, he told me you have a spiral fracture, and, you know, your right side is, like, you know, really jerked up out of place. And so I had to, quote unquote, take it easy. Well, it's like, well, we owned a business. There was nobody else to take my place and the five jobs that I did. So I tried to get back to work the best I could, but I'm telling you, I was cut down. I was thrashed. I was ruined. And so then even after they told me that the fracture had healed and that I shouldn't be so tired, I had no energy. I could barely drive. I couldn't lift anything with my right side. I mean, I'm a, you know, powerhouse of energy. I mean, I'm this little chick, you know, everybody's all like, "Will you sit down? You're making us nervous," you know, because I'm always blazing around doing all this stuff. So anyway, finally I went back to the doctor and I said, "Okay, look, I'm not getting any better. I can't drive. I can't stay up. I'm always falling asleep. I'm exhausted. My side still hurts." So he put me through some tests and he said, "Okay, you have lupus." And I said, "What is that?" And he says, "Well, it's an autoimmune disease. And it's something that, you know, you're never going to get better from." And he said, "But I can give you pain medication." And I said, "Well, the only reason why I'm, you know, in pain, well, I'm in pain, but, you know, just making me so that I can't do anything with my life is not going to help me." And so I told him, "Look, you know, thanks a lot. I know you've done as much as you can, but you can't really help me because you just told me that lupus was incurable, that it was going to destroy my internal organs, and that all you're going to do is give me pain medication so I don't know that I'm dying while I'm still in my body." I said, "You know, you can't help me. You've just told me you can't help me." So I sort of gave up on Western medicine and went to Eastern medicine, which is,
okay,
they think of the body as completely different. It's a complete system. It's interactive. You don't go to one doctor for the lung and one doctor for the heart and one doctor for the, you know, digestion or you know, they look at the body as an a holistic approach to it. So I went to an acupuncturist, and she said, I can help you, but it's going to take a long time, and we can't attack everything that's wrong with you at the same time, because then nothing will work, and you won't see any results. First, we're going to take the first four worst symptoms, and we're going to treat those. And we're going to do it, you know, every week you have to come in. And then I went to TCM, which is traditional Chinese medicine, which is herbs, a combination of different herbs that are compounded by a Chinese pharmacy. And you take those to heal the different internal organs, because their belief system is that you're a holistic approach to health is that your entire body, when in good health, is working correctly. And when in bad health, that means that some of the systems are failing. And since they all interact, they're not separate from each other, you treat the whole body. So I started on that, and then I got a book, because with me, the answer is always reading, knowledge. You have to teach yourself what you need to know, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't, if you want to sit there and be ignorant and let everybody else do things for you, you're never going to get anything done, you're never going to accomplish anything, and you're not going to get better if you're really, really sick. Because if you think about it, Western doctors, they have studied the physiology of the body, which means the internal organs, the skeleton, and all those systems and how they work, but their only answer, they've only given them two answers, is drugs, which only hide symptoms and give you more symptoms. Ask anyone who's been seriously ill that you know, and you go to your grandma's house or your aunt's house, and they have a whole table full of pills. It started with three pills, but then they had more symptoms, so they give them three more pills, and then they give them four more medicines for those symptoms, and then those symptoms, and then all you're doing is treating symptoms. You're not ever getting better. They're just taking more drugs, and this is how they make their money. And also, they make their money, Western doctors, by cutting stuff out of you. So they, instead of, say you've got something wrong with your, you know, adenoids, okay, whatever, you know, liver, whatever the organ is, they give you drugs so that you don't feel the pain, but they're not making you better. And then they wait until it rots and say, ah, we've got to cut it out now, because that's their bottom line. Now, I'm not putting them down. I'm just giving you straight up how they are taught medicine. Whereas Eastern doctors, yeah?
Diane.
Yeah.
We got 1 minute left.
Oh, no.
Can we sum it up and give
sure.
the listeners the words of encouragement, advice, and if you can tie that in, because I was following you. That's why I'm going to go to an hour-long show, but I was following you. Let's tie it up. Less than 30 seconds. Give the listeners word of advice. Give them your website, where to get the books at, everything out so they can contact you. Let's inspire these guys and let them know it can be done, because you were healed.
Okay, the bottom line is research, find out how you can help yourself, and do that. Never give up. Don't take anyone else's word for your goal. If your goal is to heal yourself or climb a mountain or do whatever it is, you decide how you're going to get it done and step through those steps to do it. I did, and I'm lupus-free now. If you want to go to my website, which is www.firewalkerpublications.com, and you will find my name, Diane Teagarden, and all the books that I've written, self-help books, books on divorce, books on budgeting, poetry, and a science fiction novel, just for good measure. And also you can contact me. You can ask me questions. You can book me for more radio shows. And there's pages that will tell you, you know, you can find links to my radio shows and everything. So I want to spell my last name so people will know it, because it sounds different than it's spelled. It's Diane, D-I-A-N-E, Teagarden, T-E-G-A-R-D-E-N. And I want to thank you so much for having me on. It feels like talking to an old friend.
Okay, thank you too, Diane Teagarden. I sent you an email. Check that. I sent it to you right before we spoke in the queue. Listeners, you have it. That was Diane Teagarden. We're out of time. Check her website out. Check the books out. Follow us. All her social media will be uploaded within the next hour with the episode of the show. You can download us from iTunes and Stitcher. Follow us next week. Same place, same time. Urban Life Coach, love y'all. We're out.